I say to the Americans, have you seen these seals before? They say, no. I say, but they've been on your dollar since 1933. How come you've never seen them? They're Illuminati seals, which was a secret society set up in 1776 by a man called Adam Weishaupt, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, Weishaupt was an ex-Jesuit priest who had an aim, was to put Lucifer on the throne of the world. And on the back of the dollar here, you see the seal on the left-hand side, and there's an eye in the triangle, which many Americans presume to be the eye of God, but it's not. It's the eye of Horus in Egyptian mythology, now called the eye of Lucifer or Satan. Now, we can establish that fact because the God that we serve does not have one eye. Of course, he's not a cyclops. It says the eyes, plural, of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Anybody who is familiar with witchcraft will know that that eye, when you open it a little bit, is the eye of psychic knowledge. When you open it completely and it is illumined, as this one is, it is the eye of Lucifer himself, who is the god of Freemasonry, the god of witchcraft, and the god of the occult or esoteric practice. Then you have the 13 layers of stone on the pyramid, and people should be asking the question, what is an Egyptian pyramid doing on the back of an American dollar? What link-up is there between America and Egypt? The answer is none at all, except in the field of the occult. And I discovered that the 13 layers of stone there stand for the 13 layers in Freemasonry, which is very much involved in this plan to set up the Novus Ordo Seclorum, which is a one-world government. Then you have at the bottom 1776. The date was May the 1st, when the Illuminati was inaugurated in Bavaria, not July the 4th, the Declaration of Independence, as many Americans presume. The two words at the top, Annua Chaptis, stand for announcing the birth of, and down the bottom, Novus Ordo Seclorum. The word Novus in Latin stands for new. The word Ordo means order, and the word Seclorum is where we get our word secular from, the absence of God. And thus we see that eye cannot be the eye of God, for why would he be setting up a new system, complete world government, with the absence of himself as being in power? And thus we see we're dealing with a Luciferian plan. On the other side, we have the so-called American eagle, which we discover is not an eagle at all. According to the witchcraft people, that is a phoenix. And the phoenix, as we all know, was a mystical bird that rose out of the ashes of the Tower of Babel. Man's first attempt, Tower of Babel. God smashed it, failed. Second attempt, New World Order. I predict God will smash it, but it will reign for 3.5 years and the whole world system will come under its power. The United States of America is the only country in the only republic in the world that is completely controlled by Freemasonry. A careful reading of my books will show you that the map of Washington, D.C. has the Freemason symbols built into the streets. Have you ever seen that? I did it last time I was here in England. And anybody who would like to argue the toss about that should go to the library and get a picture of Washington, D.C., a map, and check out. You'll see the compass built into the streets. One end of the compass finishes at the Jefferson Memorial. The other end finishes at the White House. They will see the square intersecting it further up on the map of Washington. And then they will see the satanic pentagram built into the streets of Washington, D.C. also. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see the two horns go uppermost, the two ears outwards, and the beard of the goat, which fits into the pentagram, the five-pointed star. Anybody into witchcraft knows this. The beard stops right at the White House again. So the presidency of America is affected by witchcraft from two different directions, the point of the end of the compass and also the point of the beard of the goat. There is a power group at the top, obviously, who are running the whole thing, pulling the strings. And I have discovered, for example, that Mr. Tony Blair is not running this country. I learned that he is controlled by a group called the City. Right in the middle of London, you have a group here which control the politics of this country. And if the Queen, for example, wishes to go in there, she must receive permission from the Lord Mayor, who will then give her permission to go into the city. It's like an entity on its own. They go along with a group called the Adam Smith Institute. They work with another group called the Mont Pelerin Society. They send the message out on restructuring the whole world system ready for this world government to the politicians of the day. Tony Blair, Helen Clark in New Zealand, and Mr. Howard in Australia. These people listen to the Mont Pelerin Society, use the policies of the Adam Smith Institute, which mean that you privatise, you sell up your assets overseas, it leaves your government vulnerable. They have no power left because they have no assets. And then at that point, these overseas people who bought the assets control the whole world system and set up a global village. In the year 1961, the International Monetary Fund came to New Zealand. And this is how the whole plan was initiated. They were involved in this plan, and the plan was to lend every country money and then make those politicians of the day sign conditions which would later be fulfilled. So in 1961, they came to New Zealand. Our Prime Minister was Mr. Keith Holyoake. Our government borrowed a lot of money from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and signed the conditions. Then the IMF people went away again with their empty suitcases, left it at that, and let us go ahead with our plans to develop our country and so on using this money which we had borrowed. Now, little did the people know that when those politicians passed on, someone else took the job. The next group of politicians to come in were left with the terrible job of fulfilling the conditions. It happened about 22 years later, I think it was, in 1987, that's the year, we had five politicians in New Zealand worked in with the Mont Pelerin Society to bring about these conditions in the country. Now, let me read a scripture, Proverbs 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. That's a powerful verse. In other words, we became the lender, the borrower, the IMF was the lender, and we had to do what they told us to do. We've heard these words come up day by day. Restructuring was the first word. Didn't know what it meant, but we learned later it meant sacking thousands of government workers. The next word was corporatisation. Turn your government departments into corporations. Next word to come up was privatisation. Means privatise those corporations. Get big business involved in ex-government departments.
Selling off.
Next word was shares at 49% overseas, keeping 51% majority shareholding in the country. We felt secure. I was in Sri Lanka last year. They told me that was called peopleisation. Every country's got their own little catchwords, you see. Peopleisation makes the local people feel secure in that they have 51%. Very cleverly, a little stock market crash in New York, which lasts for 24 hours, frightens the peopleisation people. They sell their shares to the other guys, and the other guy's shareholding goes up to over 51%. At that point, what was owned by your country, paid for with your father's tax money, your grandfather's tax money, now goes into overseas hands, never to return again. So the key word, when you see privatisation, you add another word to it, and the word is goodbye, and the other word is forever. You will never see it again. Then they bring investors in, of course, because you've lost your assets and you've paid off the IMF with the money you've made. You've got nothing left, no assets, no money. Investors come in and buy up the rest of your country. This is globalisation, to set up a global village.